I'm Dr. Orion Terraban, and this is PsychHacks, Better Living Through Psychology. And the topic of today's short talk is men do the right things with the wrong women. This principle applies to both men and women, but it's just too much content to cover in one episode. So I'll be talking about how men do the right things with the wrong women first, and then I'll discuss how women do the right things with the wrong men in a future episode. First, a caveat. In these episodes, I'm going to be assigning numbers to people. Now, I'm not doing this simply as a means of measuring the person's physical attractiveness. More than anything else, I'm using these numbers to represent subjective interest. So a 6 here is someone you could kind of take or leave, whereas a 9 is someone that you're actually really interested in. This has a lot to do with perceived physical attractiveness, especially with men, but it's definitely not the whole story, okay? Let's get to it. We'll start with approach. Guys, imagine you're at a bar and you see a 6 on a bar stool and a 9 in the corner surrounded by a bunch of her friends. After a couple of drinks, most men are actually going to end up approaching the 6. Why? Because they are going to incorrectly perceive her to be the safer option. The fact of the matter is that most men are intimidated by attractive women. They think that women also use the metric that men apply to them, which is a failure of intersex understanding. This leads them to think that the 9 is out of their league. So she functionally represents punching outside their weight class. On the other hand, they tend to think that the 6 should be like shooting fish in a barrel, especially if they consider themselves to be like a 7 or an 8. They're more likely to think it's this woman's lucky day or this is a sure thing. The issue is that it certainly isn't a sure thing. This is because while men tend to titrate their standards to kind of match the attractiveness of the particular woman they're dealing with, women kinda don't. I know it might sound bonkers, but that 6 is very likely to have the same standards with respect to the men she's willing to mate and date than that 9 is. And this actually makes the 6 less safe than the 9. This is because it's actually gonna hurt worse if and when a 6 rejects you than if and when a 9 does. Given your perceptions, if and when a 9 rejects you, you're probably going to think, yeah, I kind of get it. It was a long shot anyway. On the other hand, given your perceptions, if and when a 6 rejects you, you might actually get your ego bruised. Who does this woman think she is? I was doing her a favor. Do you understand? It's actually all in your head, but isn't everything anyways? In any case, this is a part of the reason why 6s actually tend to get approached in bars more often than 9s. And it's this attention from men that can inappropriately mislead these 6s into believing that they are perceived to be more attractive than they actually are. So let's assume that you go up to the 6 because you perceive her to be the safer option. Because you kind of believe that you're the more attractive option, you're going to act like you're the more attractive option. You're going to be more confident. You're going to take bigger risks. And most importantly, you're not really going to care about her own interest in you. After all, you're not that into her anyway. So you think it won't be any skin off your back if it falls through. That confident indifference is like crack to women. They'll swear up and down that they hate it when men behave that way, but I guarantee that they're not going home with the empathic nice guy at the end of the night. Next, in your interaction with the 6, you're likely going to be a bit more sexually aggressive than you would with the 9. Like, you're going to be a bit more motivated to move the encounter in the direction of a sexual opportunity. To quote Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross, it's fuck or walk. And why is that? Because if you perceive her to be a 6, there might not be much else besides the sexual opportunity to justify your continued investment of time, energy, and attention. So you're unlikely to spend the whole evening talking to this girl. You'll communicate your sexual intent more quickly and see how she responds. If she's not receptive, you'll probably cut your losses sooner and move on. And if she is receptive, you can choose to act on it or not. All other things being equal, men who are more sexually aggressive, but important caveat, not men who are too sexually aggressive, are more likely to transition a sexual opportunity into a sexual encounter. And this is simply due to the fact that it is very rare for women to take the lead on these things. Like, they can pump the brakes, but they're generally not going to step on the gas. And just like driving, men who step on the gas tend to get to where they're going more quickly. Now, before I go any further, if you're liking what you're hearing, please consider sending this episode to someone who might benefit from its message, because it's word of mouth referrals like this that really help to make the channel grow. Also, you can tip me in proportion to the value you feel you've derived from this episode, either through the YouTube thanks button or through the donation button on my website. I don't do product placements or corporate sponsorships, so I rely on your donations to make all this happen. I'm very appreciative. Thank you for your support. I will also soon be starting a weekly newsletter, so if you want to opt in, you can do so on my website. Okay, let's get back to it. Let's say that you succeed in bringing this six back to your place, and you both enjoy a lovely, consensual sexual encounter. Once you're finished, how are you going to behave? Are you going to be telling this girl that she's the best you've ever had? Are you going to start planning the second date while you're still lying there in bed? Once she leaves, are you going to text her the next day? Hey, I want you to know that I had a great time last night, smiley face, winky face. No. Once you're finished, you might be thinking, when is this woman going to leave? And you're probably not going to be texting her anytime soon. After a certain amount of time, this will probably motivate her to reach out to you, because most women don't like the idea of simply being a one-night stand. And you might be cool and indifferent about the prospect of a second meeting. Do this a few more times, and this woman might be blowing up your phone, trying to invite you over for a home-cooked meal. And guys end up thinking, why is it always the ones that I'm not interested in who always seem to want a relationship with me? The answer is simple, my dudes. You did the right things with the wrong woman. I guarantee that all of the things that you did to pull the six are just as effective in pulling the nine. Why? Because these two don't belong to different species. They are the same animal. They are woman. And if it works on one, it will work on the other. The problem is that your attraction literally fucks with your perception, and you end up thinking that the two are somehow categorically different. They're not. That's all in your head. But what do guys do when they finally meet a woman that they're really excited about? They throw all of that affective behavior right out the window. They disclose their attraction and positive emotions quickly and clearly. They hesitate in expressing sexual interest and communicating sexual intent. They start planning the second date while they're still on the first. They text the next day. They smile and compliment and buy gifts and pursue. And none of that shit works. None of it. And it wouldn't work for the six either, but you wouldn't even think of doing those things with her because you wouldn't believe the effort would be justified by your attraction. My dudes, treat the nine like the six. When you invest any given woman with more interest and emotion than she invests in you, then you make her the adored. That turns you into the adorer, the pursuer. And this is a problem because women are kind of like prey animals. When you start to chase them, a lot of them have this instinct deep inside of them to just run away. Even if it's from a really great relationship opportunity, like they don't know that yet. They just feel you chasing, and so they just feel this impulse to run away. And even if it's wrong, this instinct is kind of in the service of their survival. Like, it's more adaptive for them to run from a false positive than for them to not run from a false negative. Understand? This is why it's really important not to pursue women. If you do, in the vast majority of cases, you'll only succeed in chasing them right out of your life. I understand that this can be difficult, but as a man, it is essential that you keep a tight rein on your emotions. Finally meeting a woman that you're authentically excited about after months or years of unsatisfying engagement in the sexual marketplace is kind of like getting pocket aces in poker after a string of bad hands. If you start jumping up and down in your chair and pumping your fists in the air, you are going to blow that opportunity, man. So what do you do when you get pocket aces in poker? The same fucking thing you do on any other hand you get dealt in poker. You need to stick to your system and keep control of your emotions. Otherwise, that hand is going to be wasted on you, my friend. Run the experiment for yourself. Whatever you're doing to make that six pursue you for a relationship works. That is your system. Do the same thing with a nine and observe the results. You're welcome. What do you think? Does this fit with your own experience? Let me know in the comments below. And if you've gotten this far, you might as well like this episode and subscribe to this channel. You may also consider becoming a channel member with perks like the priority review of comments or booking a paid consultation. As always, thank you for listening.